Listen, guys, the time is 10:37 and she's here. That's right. Madam President, Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle is on the live line with us via StreamYard. If you want to check us out, be sure to do so. Like the WVON page and be sure to share, because the information that we're about to unpack is brought to us by Woodstock Institute that we have every Wednesday that is fighting for equity and championing in our communities. How are you, Madam President?
Good morning, Cleopatra. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. I told you. You know what I brag the most about is your ability to balance a budget. If you want to take a master class with her, I'm going to push her one day to let out the secret sauce, because folks need to learn. And I just think that that's admirable of you. So I just always need to say that about you.
Well, thank you. You know, we have a balanced budget, but it's taken more than a decade of hard work to get here. And we made hard decisions and tough choices early on that put us in a good place. And, you know, I'm grateful that we have a balanced budget. We have no new taxes, fines, and fees for more than a decade. And we've just had our fourth in 4 years upgrade by bond ratings, bond rating agency. So, you know, we're in a pretty good place, but it took some work to get here, honestly.
And that I also admire about you, too. I like the word honest. I try to steer away from transparent. And what the reason why I bring that up is because I couldn't have thought of a better guest to speak to the commitment of small businesses and the importance of what I always notate about you and your commitment to balance a budget. Right. Prior to me even having a show, I had Rebuilding Black Chicago, and it was dedicated to the essentials of building out a small business and what you need. And, you know, when we talk about these payday loans and these caps and what the real fight is from a legislative standpoint, it's undeniable that 50% plus one is the fuel to the economy of America via small businesses. And I always bring up that absolute fact. And they are an economic engine. And with your ability to lead a team for more than a decade to balance a budget is no easy feat. And you do deserve some kudos because of the commitment of your ability to adapt. I think the survival of businesses and adaptability have to go together. And you do a superb job of that. And I want to specifically talk with you and our listening audiences when it comes to small businesses and the work that is being done around fighting against payday loans. You know, because they're rearing another face, and small businesses are a backbone. So I want to welcome you into discussing what that means to you and your leadership.
Well, you know, I have been appalled by the growth of payday loans in Illinois, and grateful to the state legislature that they put a cap on interest rates at 36%. And let me just say, 36% is about twice what you would pay on a credit card. So it's not an unreasonable cap to put on payday loans. 36% at the end of every year, for $100 you borrow, you owe $136. But when the legislature put that cap on payday loans, the payday loans left the state of Illinois because they were used to charging 300% interest to their customers. And the most vulnerable people in our communities, seniors, young people, people who are living paycheck to paycheck, would go to payday loan stores and end up just in a much worse position than they were when they walked in the door in the first place. People who were unbanked and didn't have other resources to turn to. So this is a part of our economy that I'm grateful no longer exists in Illinois, and we should do everything we can to keep them from getting a foothold again.
No, and I agree. Actually, we had some testimony of folks, like you're saying, everyday working class people, check to check, and in between stopping at a payday loan to try to make ends meet. But, you know, now that they've left, there's some opportunity for them to rear their heads in different ways. And we are putting out the warning signs. So when it comes to small businesses, you know, from the Cook County lens, especially in the midst of all of what is going on in our everyday We're on the 29th day of a Republican-led government shutdown. What are the threats, you know, that small businesses are facing in this current administration?
Well, there are numerous, but let me begin by work we've been doing in the county. You know, in the midst of the pandemic, it was clear to us, as you point out, small businesses are the backbone of our economy broadly, and particularly the backbone of our neighborhoods. And we'd started supporting small businesses, which had never been a part of our work previous to that time. And we worked with business service organizations, BSOs, organizations like the Urban League or the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, for example, and got resources to them so they could support the businesses they served with capacity building initiatives, with outright grants. We did a lot of work in that space, which we had never been in before. And we're continuing to do that work as we've moved out of the pandemic. So supporting small businesses, not historically part of the county's work, but it became part of our work as we saw what was happening to small businesses in the pandemic. So I'm really grateful to our Bureau of Economic Development and Soshi Flores and her team for the work that she's done. You know, I think small business owners are, again, folks who are often vulnerable, you know, trying to keep their business afloat. And payday loans may seem initially like an attractive option for them. But they're, again, you get trapped in a cycle of debt and it's very difficult to get out of it. So whatever we can do to prevent payday loans from returning to Illinois, we should do. And that means, I think, keeping the cap at 36%, which is apparently there's an effort now to break that ceiling and to give payday loans an opportunity, payday loan companies an opportunity to come back into Illinois.
And that makes me cringe, right? Because here we are, 42 million Americans are being ripped away from SNAP benefits. You know, we have some critical funding issues to some key components of life, and folks will begin to get desperate, Madam President. So what parameters are we going to put in place to prevent that opportunity from reappearing in Illinois? We worked so hard to get to the cap, and the fact that it may be filibustered is very frightening.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just say I'm proud of the Democrats in Congress for standing firm. You know, there was a question about whether or not we were going to move ahead without health care support, frankly. I mean, that's the crucial issue that the Democrats are fighting for in Washington. I want people to understand that, you know, our county provides health care to people, and we run an insurance program called Medicaid, well, called County Care. It's a Medicaid managed care program. And we used to be in the business just of providing services directly, but now we both provide services and run this insurance company, County Care. And 400,000 people in Cook County are served by our Medicaid managed care program, County Care. And what the Republicans are trying to do is chip away at eligibility, make fewer people eligible, say that you have to prove up your eligibility twice a year instead of once, that you have to prove up that you're working. They're doing everything they can other than a frontal assault on Medicaid to reduce the number of people who are eligible. And one of the great things about, you know, Barack Obama's tenure as president of the United States was the Affordable Care Act and the fact that many, many, many more Americans were covered by insurance than had previously been the case. So, I mean, I want to begin by commending the folks in Washington, our Democratic leaders, who are standing up for the American people, not just Medicaid recipients, but people who get their insurance on what they call the exchanges. That insurance was subsidized by the federal government so that you had lower cost insurance than you might be able to have purchased otherwise. And people are going to see dramatic increases in their premiums because that was another part of the ugly bill that the Republican Congress passed and the president signed. And that was to eliminate those subsidies. So not only did fewer people eligible for Medicaid, but people who were buying insurance are now going to see their premiums maybe double, triple, and they're going to have a hard time affording those premiums. So, you know, kudos to the Democrats for standing firm. This is a really critical moment in our country's history, and we need to be sure that we're paying attention to what's going on and the ways in which the Republicans are challenging what has been, you know, pretty much accepted policy and practice, that the federal government is going to help people with health care. There was always a Medicaid program. What Obama did was expand the existing program, right? And now what these folks are doing is trying to contract the eligibility and reduce the number of people who are eligible for Medicaid and make it harder for people to pay for their own health care. I mean, this is a nightmare scenario, I just have to say.
If I may, you know, you always make my wheels turn. It's the teacher in you. And I have to get your input on Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know the idiom of politics makes for strange bedfellows, but I am taken aback at her defiance against her party and the transparency of their non-support and no plan to either replace Obamacare or acknowledge the lack of ACA credits and how painful this is going to render to a lot of ruby red states. And she's calling it out even in her own household with her adult children. You know, I too commend the Democrats. I support their defiance to stand strong because the impact is going to be cataclysmic. But I have to get your input on Marjorie Taylor Greene because she's a lone wolf, but she's on the right side of history.
On this one, yes, she's a very interesting and problematic character. But, you know, the interesting thing to me was that I guess one of her children got to be age out at 26 or whatever. We changed the rules so the 26-year-olds could be on their parents' insurance, aged out, and then, you know, basically was going to be really, really challenged to try to figure out how to pay for health care. Well, she's not the only one. There are millions of Americans for whom that's true, right? But when it hit home to her own family, I guess then she started paying attention. So, but look, we'll take allies wherever we can find them. You know, we need people to stand up and say this is wrong, wherever they are on the political spectrum. It's wrong to deny Americans health care. It's wrong to make health premiums so expensive that ordinary working people can't afford them. We need help. I mean, I believe in universal health care. This is the richest country in the world. We should provide health care for everybody. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that basically we're not doing that. And not only are we not doing that, but the modest efforts we've made to expand federal support for health care are now being jeopardized by the Republicans in Congress and the President of the United States.
Well, listen, guys, you are listening to Madam President. That's right. Toni Preckwinkle of the Cook County Board is with us on the Cleopatra Show, and she is laying out all the facts. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of this break. We'll be back. You are listening to the Cleopatra Show. The time is 10:54, and it's that time. It's the Woodstock Institute Report, and we had Madam President, that's right, Toni Preckwinkle, on the live line with us to talk about the caps when it comes to payday loans, and she is back with us, and I'm so grateful. Madam President, let me know, what is that explosive background? It seems so artistic. What is the background for you?
When I was a teacher, I went to visit a school, Bret Hart, and I spent the afternoon there, and the young people decided that they would thank me with an art project. So each of the young people designed a square of a quilt. So what I have, what's on the background is a quilt from the students at Bret Hart. I'm very grateful to them. Thank you.
It looks so cool. I just love. Another part of you is the richness of your time teaching. And when I think about my time in Chicago public schools, I can tell that it was artistically designed by the youth, but I didn't know where. So thank you for sharing. So everybody that's looking, look at the talent of our children behind Madam President.
Yep.
And we were just having a real conversation about where we're at. And I appreciate you weighing in because by you commanding the ship, being the president of the Cook County Board and the services we provide with healthcare, you know, where we're rooted. So initially the fight and the standoff was centered around the ACA credits. And now the evolution is the withholding of SNAP benefits. And I just learned the contingency fund is at $5 billion. So the refusal to even release the funds and its cruelty will impact 42 million people. Do you have a comment about the next step of this standoff and this Republican-led shutdown to prevent our most vulnerable populations of working families and our most needed people that are differently able and veterans and women and children, 40% of whom are children, will not have SNAP benefits.
Well, it's just it's an illustration of how cruel this administration is. I talked about health care. Needless to say, SNAP benefits are a lifeline for many of our families. And to endanger the SNAP program, I just think is unconscionable. I was talking earlier this morning to Xochitl Flores, the head of our Bureau of Economic Development. And as the shutdown progresses and as the federal cuts across a broad spectrum of programs are implemented, you know, what she said, and it, I agree, we're going to have to pull back some of our activities and focus on food and shelter, trying to figure out how we're going to support people who are housing insecure and how we're going to support people who have relied on food stamps and then will no longer be able to rely on them as the federal government program shuts down. I want to commend the Greater Chicago Food Depository, which has been in this space for a very long time, supporting neighborhood food pantries. We're going to have to figure out how we can be helpful to them and to the neighborhood groups that do this good work in the face of, as I said, what I can only describe as cruelty on the part of the Republican-led Congress and the President of the United States.
No, and I thank you for that. And as a woman that is a conscious fighter of food justice, and I've packed boxes for years right here in Roseland, I've seen days where boxes are few. So the fact that the lines are growing, I agree with you. You know, the most imminent issues is food and shelter. And it's folks like you in leadership that, you know, we're going to count on and we need to support. So for everybody that's listening, I'm walking us through this exercise because Madam President cannot do this alone. And she is even recognizing coalition building of those that specialize in different fields to support where we're going to need help. So there are opportunities across the county and across the state and across the city for us to step up, but most importantly, support, because it's going to be all hands on deck. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, the federal resources are considerable, and we're going to have to figure out locally how we can support our institutions, our agencies, our community-based organizations in the absence of the federal support that they've relied on for decades. And that's a real challenge, but we're going to have to step up. And as I said, from our county perspective, what we're looking at is moving in the direction of supporting housing and ensuring food security for people. And that means there are other things we won't be able to do. But those are, you know, without food and shelter, it's hard to work on anything else. So that's where we have to focus our energies.
Well, one thing about it, I want to thank Woodstock Institute for having you on with us as you continue to not only champion in the space of economics and small businesses, but really putting on that critical thinking hat to acknowledge the two most essential aspects, food and shelter during these foreign times of cruelty. I thank you for your leadership and I thank you for your time today. We have spoke with Madam President of the Cook County Board, Toni Preckwinkle. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Cleopatra, for inviting me. And I want to thank the Woodstock Institute for their good work. They do lots of research that is the, you know, that guides us as we look at programs that we want to implement and support. So their work around economic justice is really important. Thank you.
I agree. So have a wonderful day. And again, I love the background. It's so beautiful. What a
thank
wonderful
you.
Tribute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.